Welcome to the businessofsports.com podcast. As always, my name is Russell Scabetti, and if you're listening to this now, you've hopefully visited my sports business blog, thebusinessofsports.com. My goal for the site was to create a valuable resource filled with news, opinions, and discussion for people working in the sports industry or those interested in learning more about it. And one of the ways I can achieve this goal is to bring on knowledgeable guests from different areas of the industry and let them share some of their expertise with you. This is the second podcast I've done, and if you haven't already, you can go back and check out my previous episode where I interviewed Michael DiLorenzo, the VP of Corporate Communications for the National Hockey League. With all that aside, let's get right to the next interview. I would like to thank my guest for today's podcast, Brian Gaynor. Brian is the founding editor of PartnershipActivation.com, which is a great sports business blog talking about topics on corporate partnerships and activation. So Brian, thank you for being a guest today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it.
So first off, for our listeners who might not know about it, tell me a bit about yourself, your background, and about PartnershipActivation.com.
All right, great. Well, in February of 2008, I created Partnership Activation, PartnershipActivation.com, that is, as a way to give back to the industry. And what the site really sets out to do is to provide sports business professionals with creative ideation, unique sponsorship, and marketing activation tactics, and other innovative ways to generate incremental revenue for the organizations. Over the past 11 months, the site really has evolved into a sports marketing platform. Built out a partnership activation newsletter that goes out once a month. It has a free subscriber list, so if anyone's interested, they can sign up for that. Also built out a LinkedIn page for people, different users of the site, to connect with one another and share ideas. And there will be more to come here in the next couple months, but the site really just corresponds with a number of leagues and teams out there that are trying to share best practices amongst one another, like the NBA, to improve their business operations.
Great. I think, and that, you know, one of the goals I had with the business of sports is along a similar line, is to create that valuable resource that people in the industry can learn from and contribute ideas to, and also people who are learning about the industry can kind of get more of an idea of what goes on behind the scenes within the sports business. So, and I know yours was one of the first blogs that I looked at almost as a model before I started mine, so I really enjoy reading it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I really found the site to be a great way to, I guess, differentiate yourself in the sports marketplace. I know it's easy, you know, once you get out of school or coming in from a different industry, to just become a number. And the site's been a great way to stay connected with people from all aspects of the industry. And just help share, you know, best practices and different thoughts that can help one another's business.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about activation. So, you know, I'm a big company and I've spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of being a sponsor with Team X. And now you're telling me that on top of that, in order to actually get value on a sponsorship, I need to spend more money to activate it. What's the reason behind it, behind having to spend that extra money?
Well, it's just really important to understand that activation really is the key element to any sponsorship agreement. It's the make or break component. And most industry experts will say that you need to spend 3-to-1 activation dollars to rights dollars if you're really going to maximize the partnership. In reality, I believe in 2006, the actual level of activation spending to, you know, what the stated goals are was about 1.6, and kind of peaked there about 1.6 to every dollar that you spend in rights fees. But in the end, if you're really trying to connect with consumers on site and engage and enhance their experience, you really need to activate. You can't really expect just, you know, getting desirable results out of a sponsorship agreement, but just by paying the rights fees, you really need to invest in the back end and really support that partnership and help it enhance the fan experience, because they're really expecting more out of the overall game entertainment nowadays.
Okay. Well, along those lines about, you know, the different activation methods that there are out there, what are some of the trends that you've seen in sponsorship activation, you know, over the past year or moving into this year?
You've definitely seen teams get a lot more creative in working with their corporate partners and understanding what fans are looking for and really trying to derive value. So there's a number of different types of activations that we've seen, either from a promotional standpoint, in venue or online. We've definitely seen a lot more teams working with corporate partners to offer unique fan experiences. In some cases, it's just unique experiences around the arena. Sometimes they'll tie in a player, a PSA deal. And sometimes they'll tie in a corporate partner. So if it's an automobile company, partnering with the team to offer a unique experience. It could potentially be a road trip with, you know, the street team or a certain player or whatnot during the season. We've also seen text messaging promotions become a lot more prevalent in the sports biz, as well as creating promotions and activation on-site that engage sections rather than single contestants to really try to get people involved in the game atmosphere. But just a few more, a lot of companies have really tried driving more traffic back to retail and starting to see more results at retail as opposed to just slapping their brand on a sign in venue and trying to drive brand awareness. Those are just a few that we've seen that have really stuck out, you know, as trends and where the industry's headed here in the past, you know, couple of years.
From your answer there, you talked about a whole bunch of different channels. You've talked about in-venue, media, online, text messaging. Do you really need to hit all those channels to build an effective platform? Is there one channel that tends to be more effective that they concentrate on?
Well, it really all depends on the end objective of the client. So if they're targeting a certain demographic, you know, whether it be minorities, in this case, African Americans and Hispanics tend to skew higher for text messaging and mobile usage. So that might, you know, be a promotion that would cater more to that demographic. But it all comes down to, you know, really what's the end objective for the client and what they're trying to meet with any activation that they have on site.
Okay. So another question I have for you is about the balance. How much of these activation ideas do the properties themselves have to come up with and provide as part of a deal, or how much of it is done managed by like a third-party agency?
Well, in most cases, it all depends, because you'll have some companies out there that are developing full 360-degree holistic programs. That's really where they bring in an agency partner to help with the ideation and the execution and just the management throughout the year. Then you have, on the other side, just properties that are looking to activate in-game and do simple activation tactics in-venue or online. And in that case, they might not bring in an agency partner, and it might be a simple creative idea that was thought up by someone on the sponsor side or the team side. But you really see agencies playing more of a role with the full, you know, 360-degree programs and the build-out and execution. That's really where agencies play a key role.
Okay, that actually is a good lead into my next question, which is related to the current economy. Clearly, budgets are getting cut across the board, and you know, we've read all these things online about corporate dollars not being spent, you know, especially automobile and financial industries pulling out their spending. You just mentioned how important it is for the agencies to be involved. Are the agencies losing business, or is this actually a time where, because the agencies provide maybe more value, they're actually doing better?
I guess you could see it from two ways. I mean, it's becoming more competitive with companies having less dollars to spend in the sports space. I guess agencies are fighting for whatever dollars there are, but I think both sponsors and teams are now really starting to understand the value and creativity that agencies can bring to the table when it comes to ideas and executing ideas. And sponsors in this time are really realizing that they need to maximize their spend, and so they're now seeking out new creative ideas and the best ways to do so. So in the past, when, you know, they might have a bigger budget, they might not, you know, bring in an agency expertise. But now in this time when it's critical to, you know, really deliver on the money that you have available, many might start seeking out expertise in this area from agencies, especially from a creative standpoint.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit more about, in general, other things that you've seen, how the economy has affected the sponsorship side of the business beyond just activation?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, yeah, the activation spend across the board has been decreased, but as we have seen, a lot more teams and sponsors have gotten more creative with their dollars and really trying to create promotions and different activation ideas on-site that really do benefit fans, whether it's ticket promotions, driving fans to retail to receive a coupon or some item of value. We really have seen teams and sponsors start working together to become more creative with their promotions. And what this has done is it's really taken away from the word sponsor as companies have really started to see the value and teams have started to see it more. We're now starting to see more of an evolution to the corporate partner, the true corporate partner, where both sides understand the value that one another can bring to the table to create great promotions and activation ideas that can benefit both parties.
One of the things, I'm personally really big into social media, and I use Twitter a lot. So whenever I bring on a guest for an interview, I like to throw it out there to people on Twitter to come up with questions. And I had a great question that was submitted to me that kind of builds off of this. So the question for you is, with the economic downturn, teams seem to be more focused on thinking of creative ideas such as those displayed on your website, partnershipactivation.com, to attract fans and also to attract sponsors. But do you expect this creative philosophy to continue once the economy has improved?
Yeah, I really do. As the economy rebounds, I would think that teams would still need to offer these unique experiences and promotions that offer value to fans, because fans are going to be expecting it. Fans are expecting it right now. Teams are going out to have to promote and come up with unique ideas to drive fans to their events. And I think teams will continue to have to do this for a while. And then consumers will eventually start opening up their wallet more. And I think that really corresponds with the economy. But now that teams and sponsors have really started to get smarter with how they work together to understand one another's business objectives and create unique promotions, I do think that, you know, coming out of this recession or economic environment, that we will see people in the end start to create more creative and efficient and effective programs that'll benefit all parties involved.
I completely agree with you. One thing that does tend to happen in these types of situations is companies are forced to really refine their business processes. And in this case, you know, like I said, be more creative with activating sponsorships, you know, making sure they get the return on objectives that they expect. So by building these processes in the tough times, hopefully they should be well positioned to benefit from them when the times aren't so tough. You know, hopefully, you know, we won't see anyone falling back into their old tendencies.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit. So I want to ask you for one in venue and one, say, online or mobile activation idea that you've seen lately that you really liked.
There's a couple companies that really do it well. I really love some of the things that Chick-fil-A does in venue and also driving traffic back to store. I think everyone has now seen the Chick-fil-A cow at the Atlanta Braves Stadium that guides the Tomahawk Chalk during the games. And they've come up with some unique promotions around the Chick-fil-A Bowl, as well as even this past year when fans would walk into a Chick-fil-A location the first week of the college football season, they would win a free, I believe, 4 or 6-pack of chicken nuggets. They seem to really get it, really tap into the emotions and affinity that fans have for their respective organizations. But definitely the Chick-fil-A cow in venue at Turner Field has really stood out in my mind, as well as what in-stadium did for Sony PSP. They redid all the TVs and the concourse levels of a few stadiums to look like the new Sony PSP Madden pack. It was a great branding element that I thought really stood out within the marketplace. From an online perspective, I love what P&G and Degree for Men did a couple years ago with Chad Johnson. And that was where fans could get online and have Chad Johnson call whatever friend that they wanted and say a message that they wanted him to say. And I thought it was a really engaging piece. I think we'll start seeing more companies jump online and create similar promotions as what P&G did just about a year or two ago.
That was a great promotion. Anytime you can transition from just a static online piece to a really interactive piece, I think the returns definitely improve.
I agree. And then just one other thing, I love the trend that we're seeing with the 3D signage, which is something that we saw in Europe that's become very prevalent. And now we're starting to see it start to evolve here in the United States. I believe first basketball tournament in New York, we started to see, I believe State Farm might have had some 3D signage, and starting to see that really start to move into the United States marketplace. So it's pretty exciting to see some of the new trends and new things that are happening.
Yeah, I remember actually on one of your blog posts, you talked about the turf sign for Monday Night Football, I believe it was. Yeah, Monday Night Football. And I actually was walking around New York one day and saw one of those signs. And you have to go up to it and feel it. I mean, it's pretty much they took an actual piece of turf field and used that as their signage.
Yeah. And a couple companies, like I mentioned, Chick-fil-A just really seem to get it. Like Coca-Cola does an incredible job. ING with the New York City Marathon does a great job. Adidas in so many ways around soccer does a great job. So there really are some benchmark examples out there of companies that have done it right and really understand the importance of activation.
Well, Brian, I've got one more question for you. And this is going to be a pattern for me. I'm ending every podcast. Give me one good career tip for someone who's really starting to get into the sports business industry.
I would definitely say it's just read, and absorb anything that you can. A lot from what I've done is just listening and reading anything that I can. There's so many publications out there that offer so much insight, and I would just try to become an expert in so many different areas. You don't want to just confine yourself to one industry that you work in, because there's so many great benchmark examples of things out there in different entertainment fields and whatnot that you can apply in your own space. And I really just think that it's just read and become as educated as possible. And then again, as Michael DiLorenzo said last week, it's just network and just stay connected with other folks in the industry, because you never know down the line how they can help you out or how they can help you generate business. So those would be the two keys I'd focus on.
Great. And one of the things I would definitely recommend people read is partnershipactivation.com. Like I said, it's definitely one of my favorite blogs out there. And also sign up for your monthly newsletter. A lot of good information in there. Brian, thank you for taking the time to do this today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Russell. And again, I encourage everyone to reach out to me via the website or the newsletter if you have any questions. And it's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the businessofsports.com podcast. Please keep visiting the blog and leaving your comments. The more dialogue we can get going, the more valuable the site can be for all of the readers. Until next time, I'm Russell Scabetti from thebusinessofsports.com.